Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, we've been spending some time here at the church praying this week. And one thing that has resounded, and I want to read this to you. The Lord has repeated this, and people did not even know when they would quote these scriptures during our prayer times. Isaiah chapter 60. So this is a promise, amen, for our church. You ready for this? Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah. We are the light of the world, and it's time for us to rise up and let that light so shine before men so that people can see the glory of our Lord. And you know, the glory of the Lord is not going to be seen apart from you. He said the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So how is it going to be manifested? Through you, through us, through the church. We're going to be the manifestation of God's glory here in these last days. Amen? Praise God. Well, let's go over in our Bible to Jeremiah chapter 17. Before I get into the message that I believe the Lord has for us today, I want to deal with some current social issues. How many of you know there's something very important happening this Tuesday? And I just felt led to exhort us concerning this. Amen. Amen. And this might not be, depending, I know people get really passionate every 4 years about this time. Amen. And they get it in their heart really big about what they feel like needs to happen and their own views, their own opinions and stuff like that. Well, the only opinion I'm concerned with is the Lord's opinion. Amen. Righteousness. And what I'm going to say to you this morning does not mean we don't stand up, we don't have a voice, and we don't stand up for what is right. I'm not talking about burying our sand, head in the sand like an ostrich, but what I am talking about this morning is where our hope and where our trust ultimately needs to be in times like this. So Jeremiah 17, let's begin in verse 5. Now you understand that when the Lord spoke this through the prophet Jeremiah, it was aimed towards the Lord's people. It wasn't aimed towards the sinners and the Gentiles out there. This was aimed towards the Lord's people. And he's not going to be telling you not to do something that they shouldn't be doing. He's going to tell you something you shouldn't be doing or you should be doing. Amen? And we see it here in this scripture. Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. So what's the result of this person? The person that puts his trust in man and makes flesh his strength says, for he shall be like a shrub in the desert and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and a salt land which is not inhabited. But notice this, he flips this around and says, blessed is the man who trust in the Lord. And then he adds something else here. Notice this. And whose hope is in the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. So notice here, what are some of the fruit, no pun intended there, what are some of the fruit of putting your trust in the Lord and not in man? What is some of the fruit of putting your hope in God and not in man? What is the fruit? It says that you're not going to fear when heat comes. You're not going to be anxious in drought. And why do I say this morning? I say it because a lot of people, even church-going people, spirit-filled, tongue-talking people, during times like this, have a tendency to get into fear, to get anxious. And you know what that is an indicator of? Our hope and trust is not in the Lord. It's in man. That was a better response than I expected this morning. Kudos. Psalm chapter 20, Verse 7 says this. Notice this. I love this verse. This has been resounding in my heart regarding the elections coming on this week. Some trust in chariots and in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Now, you got to understand what they were talking about then. Chariots in their day was a sign of their technology. It was their intellect. The chariots were a product of their intellect and technology. Some put their trust too much in that. But then some put their trust too much in horses, which was strength and power. And I want to change this. Some put their trust in political parties, and some put their trust in politicians. But we, the church, will remember the name or the person and the character of the Lord our God. Amen. I say this because we've got to guard our heart. Because whatever ends up happening after Tuesday, don't fall apart like a $2 suitcase. God's still on the throne. If our heart and trust is depending on the Lord, He's ultimately going to fulfill His purpose. And everything, like I said this morning, that ends up happening in the end of the book of Revelations is going to happen. Doesn't matter who's elected. Doesn't matter who's over all these different things. God's purpose and God's plan will come to pass if His church will continue to trust in Him and put their hope in Him in light of these things. Amen. Now, some of y'all are looking at me funny, but I'm going to tell you, that's from the Spirit of the Lord this morning. And we need to be exhorted concerning this because, listen, Psalm 42 and 43 says this statement three times. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. It says that three times in those two psalms. You reckon that that might be two or three witnesses that we need to pay attention to? And you know what that teaches me? When we're downcast, when we're despondent, when we're discouraged, and something gets all over us like that, you know what that's an indicator of? Our hope's not in the Lord. That was one person, I think. Isn't that what that scripture's saying? Why are you cast down? Why are you despondent, discouraged, all these different things? Hope in God. Our expectation, our trust, and our hope ultimately needs to be in the Lord. And that's why we can pray, rejoice, in the midst of, no matter what happens, no matter what the difficulties are, God has not fallen off the throne. He will accomplish His purpose and plan. Amen. So that's a perfect segue right into what I want to talk to you about this morning. The subject of hope. We've been talking about this. I believe this is part 6, 7, something like that of this series. And I believe we'll be concluding today. But we've been talking about this because the Lord wants us to build our hope and our expectation on something other than the tendency in most people. Some people put their hope in things of this earth, temporal things that are going to fade away. And we can't do that. Our hope ultimately needs to be in the Lord. So we've learned a few things through this. We've learned what hope is not. We've learned that hope is not a maybe, the way we use it today. Well, is this going to happen today? Well, I hope so. Well, that means maybe. I wish, I desire for it to happen. No, hope is not a maybe. Hope is a absolutely. Hallelujah. Yeah. Because we go on to find out the facts about hope from the Hebrew and the original Greek, that it actually means an expectation, a confident expectation, which is based on solid certainty. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And that's what hope is. So when the Bible refers to hope, it's not referring to this wishful thinking and having an optimistic outlook. When the Bible refers to hope, it's talking about something very similar to faith. I'm confident. I'm expecting this to happen. I got my neck stretched out and I'm looking for it. And it will surely come to pass because my God is faithful who promised. And we come to find out that faith is really not too much different than hope. Actually, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things, what? Hoped for. Meaning you only got as much faith as you got hope. They are intertwined and they work together because they're extremely similar, and we're going to see more about this here in a moment. But then we found out what the truth is about hope. The truth about hope, according to Romans chapter 8, is if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. So there's your biblical definition of what hope is. It's to eagerly wait for something with perseverance. Showing us a lot of the indications of hope. And you can tell how you're in hope. If you're in hope, guess what? You're going to be eager. It might start causing you to act a little bit more like me. Acting a little passionate and a little excited. Kind of like a kid on Christmas morning. Glory to Jesus. They wake up a little bit early because they're eager to open their gifts and see what the Lord has brought them. Notice I said the Lord, not Santa. Because the Lord's our provider, praise God. So that's it's causing an eagerness. And it causes you to eagerly wait. Which waiting, according to the Bible terminology, is it's not just sitting back, well, if God's going to do it, I'm just waiting on the Lord and he's going to have to do it. We're just expecting. That doesn't work, saints. You're not waiting on God. A lot of times God's waiting on us to start eagerly waiting correctly. Which is what? To look for it. To earnestly expect. That's right, Link. Amen. But then it also combines with it that you're eagerly waiting for it with perseverance. Which describes, that's the Bible word for patience, where you see patience threaded all throughout the New Testament scriptures, which is a better translation, is endurance. Oh, I like to say it this way, staying under power. No matter how much the devil pours on you, no matter how much pressure he puts on you, no matter how much you get squeezed, you find out what the good fruit is because the good juice comes out then. Hallelujah. You never know what your fruit's made of till it gets squeezed, baby. So when the pressure's on, it causes you to endure and have staying under power. Glory to Jesus. So this is what the Bible has to say about hope. But what we started talking about last time was how to develop hope. Not just talking about, it'd be one thing for me to say we should hope, we should put our hope in God and all this different stuff, but for me not to tell you how to do it would be irresponsible. And the Bible actually teaches us three specific ways that we develop hope in our lives. So let's go over to Romans chapter 5 and let's review the first one that we spent most of our time on last time. Romans chapter 5. And we're going to start at the end of verse 2. How many of you got something highlighted in the book of Romans? How many of you got something written in your Bible in the book of Romans? Glory to Jesus. I mean, it's awesome. Romans, road to righteousness. Bless God forever. Let's start in verse 1. Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith. So that's you. Say that. Say that's me. I have been justified by my faith. Amen. We have peace with God. So let's say that. Say, I have peace with God. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So notice the understanding here is this is what we already have. We've already been justified, we already have peace, and we already have access into this grace. So then when he goes on to say in this last phrase, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God, what's understood here is we're already doing this. Amen. You understand that we should live a lifestyle of rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Now somebody out there will ask, what's the glory of God? Well, it can mean several different things. It can mean the manifested glory of God that we're going to live in for all eternity in heaven. That's going to be wonderful. It could be the glory of God that we're going to receive in our flesh when we are raised from the dead and we are resurrected and receive our glorified bodies and become just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Or it could be the glory that you and I will receive at the judgment seat of Christ for the good works we've done. And you see how quiet it was right there? People are like, you're not going to get no glory in heaven. Oh, yes, you are. If you go over to Romans chapter 2, it talks about that those who through patient continuance in doing good will receive glory, honor, and immortality. You know what's going to happen? See, everybody looks at the judgment seat of Christ as a negative thing. But the Bible teaches us that we all must stand before the judgment seat of Christ, whether you're a believer or not. Amen. So everybody's going to stand there, and guess what's going to happen? When you stand there, some people should be dreading that day. But some of us should be getting super excited about that day, because I know I'm doing what the Lord has called me to do. I'm doing things by faith. I'm doing things in love, so that when I stand before the Lord and he looks at me and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you understand, in that case, Jesus just praised me. Everybody thinks praising is saying, "I praise you, Lord." No, praising is basically saying, "Man, isn't that Johnny just a good guy? I just praised him." The Lord's going to be like this. You're going to stand before him when you've done your stuff faithfully, and he's going to go, "Well done, good and faithful servant. That's my boy. That's my girl. You ran your race with endurance. You did what I told you to do, and you're going to receive glory and honor in that day." That's something worth rejoicing in. Amen. Selah on that for a moment. Praise God. That's something worth looking forward to. But notice what else he goes on to say. He says, and not only that, but we what? But we also glory in tribulations. Now the word glory here, we found this out last time, the word for glory is the exact same Greek word for rejoice. So it's actually saying, and not only that, but you're also going to be rejoicing in something else. You should be rejoicing in something else. What? Your tribulations. Now, most people look at that and they're like, "Well, good gracious, Paul, what planet did you live on? How in the world can you actually rejoice over your trials, tribulations, afflictions, and persecutions? How can you possibly do that?" Because you understand something. It says you do this knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. Hallelujah. In other words, you're rejoicing in the fact that even though I might go through some problems here in this earth, it's a grand and glorious opportunity for me to exercise my spiritual muscles and become stronger for it, developing perseverance in my life, developing character in my life, and these are the things that you're going to be rewarded for. You understand, there's going to be a time when you stand before the Lord, going back to that judgment seat of Christ, where the Bible specifically teaches us, I think it's 1 Corinthians chapter 3, that all of our works are going to be put in a pile, and there's going to be a match to put to them. And it says all the wood, hay, and stubble will be burnt. But then whatever's left, that's gold, silver, and precious stones, the things that endure the fire, are what? Those are the things that you're going to be rewarded for all eternity. How many of you know we don't want a bonfire in heaven? I want a very little fire because I got very little wood, hay, and stubble and all the rest of this stuff. Well, those are the things you do by faith, in love, and according to the leading of the Holy Spirit. This is why it's so important what we do now. You know, and that some people have mistaught all these things, and they start understanding, well, Jesus has already done it, you're already going to heaven, and there's this escapist mentality of we're just going to be raptured up and we're going to be gone, and it's really not, doesn't matter what you do now. Yes, it does matter, because if you understood according to the Bible what's going to happen according to what you've done, there's going to be people that are going to be standing there in that day, and they're going to have an eternal time in heaven, but they're going to be smacking themselves on the head saying, "In God's name, what did I do with my life? I could have done so much more. I could have laid up so much more and prepared a better inheritance for myself." This is what we need to see, we need to understand, and we need to strive for. This hope will drive us to do these things. Amen? So then it talks about, though, at the end, that through all these developmental process of our tribulations, it produces perseverance, it produces character, but it produces hope. Now, wait a minute. I thought he just said at the end of verse 2, we're already rejoicing in hope. So it's understood we already got hope. So what's he talking about right here that it's producing hope? It means this. It means that through the trials, through the tribulations, there is a benefit that's rejoice-worthy, which is what? The further down you get, the more you'll look up. And it'll cause you to put more of your hope in something outside of this life if things in this life are not going the way you want them to go or your flesh wants them to go. So there are benefits too. Persecution, for example. When those times came against the church has flourished more than it ever has when it's had the most intense persecution. Why? Because there's a device of this the devil out there that he causes us, through the cares of this world, through these thorns, to choke our productivity because it causes us, when things are comfortable, to put our hope in them.
That's right.
And not in what you should be putting your hope in. Amen. So this is one I told y'all would get excited about this one. Amen. Is that you're just absolutely going to love. One of the ways you can grow and develop in hope is go through some more problems. Amen. Now, this isn't automatic. It's like people say, tests will make you stronger. No, tests don't make you stronger any more than taking a test on this earth makes you smarter. Right. You can pass it, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're already smarter. You've got to pass with flying colors and really retain the information and come through things with faith and love. Amen. Well, let's go over to Romans 15 and get into the other 2 points of how to develop hope in our lives. Is this all right this morning? I'm feeling pretty good this morning. I like that extra hour of sleep last night. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Well, the other 2 keys to developing hope in our life are found in none other than Romans chapter 15. In verse 4, the Apostle Paul says this. Notice this. For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now, the first thing I want to make a point of in this verse is notice that he says, whatever things were written before were written for our learning. He's obviously referring to the Old Testament Scriptures here because there was no New Testament yet. Amen. So he's talking about this. So this is something we've always got to correct ourselves on. I think a lot of us new covenant believers that start to get the revelation of the grace of God and things like this miss it in this, thinking that the Old Testament's irrelevant and that we don't need it anymore. The Bible actually tells you specifically, yes, we do still need it. And these things that were written before were written for the church's learning. So yes, it is still relevant. It is things we need to continue to pray for because it does something for you. And notice what he says, that we, through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. So what does that indicate? That you can have more hope, you might have more hope through the Scriptures. So you remember how we talked about faith and hope are so intertwined and they're so similar? Well, how do we get more faith? How do you grow in faith? Well, Romans 10:17. What does it say? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, guess what? Hope also comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. According to this scripture. Amen. So the Word will produce hope in your heart. And let me teach you how specifically this happens. Well, notice that he says here, it's through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. What is this? What is the patience of the Scriptures? And what is the comfort of the Scriptures? Well, I'll explain. I'm glad you asked. Patience of the Scriptures says this. Well, it'd be like going back and you read the stories in the Old Testament. You read about a man named what? Joseph. And how Joseph had a dream. And he saw what the Lord had intended for him for his future. And because of envy, and because of pride, his brothers sold him into slavery. And he goes through one trial after another one, and ultimately comes to this place of being exalted to the second most powerful position on the planet. So what should we be gathering from that? Well, that's nice for Joseph. No, it's nice for you. Why? Because the same thing happens to us. When we're illuminated according to the Word and God gives us a vision that we are highly favored of Him and He's already clothed us with His coat of many colors, we've been clothed with the manifold wisdom of God, which means in the Greek, the much colored. Amen. Wisdom of God. And because I've already got this, guess what ends up happening? what comes with it is persecution. Our brothers and sisters in Christ might not like us very much, and people will do things to you. They'll say things about you. You'll go through the trials, and then the devil's hitting you from the outside, and you're going through all these different things. Well, you can be encouraged through the story of Joseph that you can expect the same results he got. Which is what? One day in the sweet by and by, when Jesus calls us up, we're going to be seated at the right hand of God, the second most powerful and influential position in all the heavens and the earth in Christ. So this is what you should be seeing when you're reading this. And guess what that does? If you're currently in that situation to where you're serving in a slavery in a certain area, or if you're serving in prison in a certain area, guess what? You can put your hope and say, God's going to bring me out of this. God's going to deliver me out of this. So what's it doing? It's fueling my expectation that I will come out of this. How about the three Hebrew children? Oh, yeah, when they refused to bow their knee. And, hey, the king threw them in there. What ends up happening? How God delivered them. Amen. So it doesn't matter how much the heat's turned up by the devil in your life. If you will study the scriptures and let the scriptures enter on the inside of you, it will fuel your expectation that God will do the same for you, because he's no respecter of persons. What he's done for one, he'll do for the other. And you're the other. This is why you should be spending daily time in the Word of God, because it produces this hope in your life. Well, that's the patience of the Scriptures. What's the comfort of the Scriptures? Well, here's another thing you can do. Go over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're familiar with this Scripture. We hear it most of the time at funerals. We need to be hearing it regularly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. Oh, hallelujah. So you can study the stories and the examples of the Word of God about how people were delivered out of the mouth of lions. How people were delivered out of this and delivered out of that, and how God came through for them. And guess what that's going to do? It's going to produce faith in you, and it's going to produce hope in you. Amen. But here, notice this. You can also study specific instances in the Bible of what we are promised as a result of our hope. Amen. Look at this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe, now notice this, this is good doctrine right here, sound doctrine. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, how many of you believe that? Do you believe Jesus died for you and that he rose again? It's qualification to being born again. Even so, God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So why would we ever fear death? Why would we ever become in despair and despondent regarding people that we lose that are in Christ? Amen. And then it says, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout. Some of you don't like shouting too much. Well, you better get used to it, because that's the way it's going to be in heaven. There's a whole lot of shouting going on in heaven. So I'm biblical. Praise God. So with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, frighten and terrify one another with these words. Is that what this scripture says? No, it says what? Comfort! Comfort one of those, not others, with these words. Now, what did we just see over there in Romans chapter 15? It's through the patience and comfort of the scriptures that we might have hope. These words, studying the promises and the truths in the New Testament about what we have to look forward to as a result of our hope, will bring comfort to our souls. Amen. Amen. so do you see the benefit of the Word of God? We are absolutely making it more difficult on ourselves than it needs to be by not spending daily time reading, studying, and meditating in the Word of God. Because if you don't do that, you're not feeding your spirit. The Bible teaches us in numerous places that the Word of God is like food for us. What did Jesus say when he was tempted to turn these stones into bread? He said, "Man shall not live by bread alone." He knows you got to live by bread. Oh man, here's a word for some of you fasting folks out there right now. He knows you got to eat. But he says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." And that includes Ecclesiastes, Leviticus, and all these other books that all your pages are stuck together. It feeds you. The Word of God, and it said this in another place, "I have esteemed your words more than my necessary food." Hallelujah. "Your words were found," Job said, "and I ate them." So guess what? The Word of God was soul food before there was ever soul food. Amen. It's what feeds your spirit. And if we were to able to look at our spirit, they'd be so, most of us, they'd be so weak and emaciated, that it just shriveled up, because we're fasting the Word all the time. Should not be so. And we're making it harder on ourselves than we need to have it. If we'd feed our soul, if we'd feed our spirit the Word of God, it would start to produce this faith, this hope on the inside of us, and it would make us stronger and build us up to where the spirit man, that spirit dog, hallelujah, gets fed, and it starts whooping up on the other dog called your flesh. This is why we're fasting today. Hallelujah. It's because we're telling our flesh no, and we're telling our spirit yes and amen to the glory of God. Thank you, Jesus. Now go back over to Romans 15. I don't know about y'all, but I sure am glad I came this morning. I am having a good time. Amen. When the Word comes alive to you, saints, it's just going to cause you to just be happy, rejoicing, and things like that. And you got to push through. There's going to be the flesh that tries to come against you and tell you, "Well, I don't feel like doing it." Shut up, flesh. Flesh is like, "Oh, I just got to eat. I'm starving. We're dying." No, you're not dying. You're actually living more. Praise the Lord. Now, the third and final key that I wanted to get across to you this morning, and this one's good, is found here in Romans 15. Look at verse 13. This is a short little prayer by the Apostle Paul that he made for this particular church. Now, you know all these prayers that are contained in the Word of God, particularly in the New Testament, that say these specific things. You know they are the absolute express will of God for all people for all time, or else they wouldn't be in there. Ephesians chapter 1, Colossians chapter 1, Ephesians chapter 3, all these different prayers that are contained in there, I highly encourage you, pray these over yourself and pray these over your loved ones. Because they're the will of God. And when you pray the will of God, what does 1 John chapter 5 say? We know, we have, not will have, we have right now the petitions that we've lifted up. Amen. So many people aren't getting answers to their prayers because they're praying out of their soul. They're praying out of their mind. They're not praying the Word. Pray the Word of God. His Word will not return to him void, but it will accomplish the thing God sent it to perform. It's what the Scriptures teach us. Well, here we have another prayer. And notice this. This is wonderful. It says, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may" what? "Abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost," or the Holy Spirit. Amen? So notice this little prayer right here. He's telling you one of the main ways that you're going to abound in hope in your life. So let's look at this in detail. Look at the beginning. "Now may the God of hope." Now this isn't one of my points this morning, but you know, notice here it doesn't just say God has hope or God has hope to give. It says he is the God of hope. So you're really going to have a hard time having hope apart from him. So what's the truth here? The truth is, when you start getting in personal relationship with God, You start spending some time with him and you start coming to know him as he is in truth, what ends up happening? Hope just starts coming across to you. It just comes. Hope will just fill your heart and you won't even necessarily know why, because you're just getting around him. You know, you become like who you hang around. What if we hung around God a little more? You reckon we'd have a little more love? You reckon we might have a little more faith, a little more hope, all these things that just come as a byproduct of who he is? Hallelujah. God is just an encourager. You know, God practices what he preaches too. And when he tells us, exhort one another daily, encourage and comfort one another, and do all these different things, how it tells us to prophesy and provide edification, exhortation, and comfort for people, you know, God's not going to tell us to do something he's not first willing to do. And when you get around him enough to where you can start learning to hear his voice, you know what you're going to hear constantly? Not nagging. No. You need to change this. You need to change that. You're not going to hear that. That ain't God. That's your own heart condemning you. God's going to spend most of his time telling you, I love you so much. You are such a winner. Boy, I put so much on the inside of you. You can absolutely whoop the devil. No problem at all. You're awesome. You're comforted. You're encouraged. That's what God will talk to you about. Amen. So we got to come to know him as he is in truth, as a God of hope. He's an encourager and exhorter. Now notice what this God of hope does. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now this is awesome. This shows us this is God's will. It is God's will for you to be filled up with joy and peace in your faith. And you know what else this teaches us? It teaches us what are some of the gauges of your faith level. You know, like it is on a car, you got the little different gauges that indicate how much gas you got in your car, how much oil and things like that. Well, because we can't see down in our tank. We don't know what we got down in there. But there are certain gauges they put on a car to indicate to you where you're at. Well, God's given us gauges in our spiritual walk. And you know what they are? Joy and peace. Joy and peace are indicators of how much faith is currently operating in your heart. So if you're like this, if you're looking at the situation and the problem and the circumstances, and you're like, I don't know what we're going to do. What's going to happen? I don't have enough bills. All these problems are happening. But I'm believing God. No, you're not believing God. If you're believing God, you'll be full of joy and peace if you're full of faith. Amen. I'm sorry, that wasn't very sweet. But it's truth. It's right in the Bible. Amen. God's trying to help us. He's trying to show us where we're at. So it's just a simple course correction then. You're like, you should catch yourself and be like, man, I'm just really discouraged right now, and I just don't feel any peace and any joy in my heart. That should be an indicator to you. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm not currently operating in faith right now. I need you to fill me up right now. So it can change. Let it just be an indicator, not a source of condemnation. Amen. And then just turn it around. Get filled back up. And how are you going to get filled in believing? Through the Word. Spend some time getting in here and quit looking at the winds and the waves going around there and start looking unto Jesus and start walking on water again, baby. Constant course corrections. We're all going to have to do that. We all struggle with that. But there is the truth that we can walk on the water consistently, just like Peter should have. And if Peter, a non-spirit-filled, non-born-again person, can walk on water, how much more can you walk above that emotional plane of being down, discouraged, and depressed? We're able to do it, and the Lord actually commands us to do it. And he's not going to be unfaithful to tell you to do something without giving you the ability and the keys to do it. And this is the key to doing this. So notice this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, in order that. Okay? So this is now graduating us up to another level. So that we may abound in hope by the Holy Spirit, by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what this shows us right here is what? When we're in faith, it can cause, when we're in the fullness of faith, it will cause our joy and peace to be full. But when we're in hope, it takes that joy and peace from just being full to abounding. Overflowing. Hallelujah. How many of you could use a little bit of rejoicing with joy inexpressible and full of glory and having peace that passes all understanding, not just having the fullness of it, but having more than enough? Well, it's going to happen in hope. But notice that what is the key statement here? That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So what does this teach us? Hope is going to abound in your life. It's going to be produced in our life by the ability and dynamic working of the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Spirit is going to be a major source to you growing in hope. So how does that work? I'm glad you asked. Thank you, brother. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I'm going to show you a couple of scriptures about how this works in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's start in verse 9. Let's talk about how the Holy Spirit causes us, in His ability and His dynamic power, calls us to abound in hope. We're going to see it in the scripture right here. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God prepares for those who love Him. Most people close their Bible right there and say, amen. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has even entered into the heart of man, brother, what God has prepared for those who love Him. Therefore, His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. They're past finding out. Blah, 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 blah. Y'all heard that before? Well, they need to read the next verse. What's the next verse say? It says, but God has, past tense, revealed them to us through His Spirit. So all these things that eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, that God has already prepared for those who love Him, has been revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. Now, think about this now. A lot of times we just put this in the here and now. But what are the things God has prepared for us? Well, what did Jesus say in John 14, 2, I believe it is? He said, I'm going to heaven before you, and I'm going to prepare a mansion for you. So that's one of the things God's preparing for us for all eternity, right? So you reckon the Holy Ghost on the inside of you might start showing you glimpses and putting in your heart a little more the home that He's preparing for you right now in heaven? What is another thing that's indicated by Jesus that the Holy Spirit's ministry is? Well, it talks about how He'll teach us of all things. He'll bring all things to our remembrance. Well, you remember this one? This is one of my wife's favorite verses. But it talks about the Holy Spirit that says, He will show you things to come. Now, a lot of times we only relate that to showing us things to come here in the immediate future. But what about showing you things to come in your eternal future? You reckon the Holy Ghost will start showing you the glories that are waiting for you in heaven and all the different things that God has prepared for you that your eye cannot absolutely fathom right now and could not even be comprehended in your heart? You reckon the Holy Ghost can do that? I'm teaching you right here, this is His ministry and His mandate to begin to show you these things now. So you got to start inviting Him. Holy Spirit, start showing me the things which You've revealed to me. Because it talks about how the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Not because they're hidden from you, but they're hidden for you. The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And that's not just in this life. That's included, but it's also including the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven that we're going to live in when we breathe our last breath. Hallelujah. And I'm going to give you another point just to reiterate my point. Go over to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, y'all have heard this prayer prayed and preached on and different things like that if you've been coming to this church for any time. I love it. I think this is another one of those prayers we need to be praying over ourselves and our loved ones. But I want you to notice something I think we've missed that's contained in this prayer. Verse 17. It says that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So here's the first thing in the first step in this prayer. The Lord wants to give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Okay, what is this describing? Well, all things that are revealed to us and all things that our heart are going to be illuminated and enlightened to are going to come by the Holy Spirit, aren't they? All these things that are revealed to us come by the Holy Spirit. So this is a Holy Spirit job right here. He is the spirit of wisdom and revelation to start flooding the eyes of your heart with something. But notice what the first one is. That you may know, verse 18, what is the what? Hope of His calling. So one of the first things the Holy Spirit's going to begin to teach you and begin to show you and reveal to you and give you wisdom and revelation and light concerning is what? The hope of His calling. So He's going to start revealing hope to you. This is one of the primary functions and motives of the Holy Spirit is to start filling your heart up with hope and to start teaching you and showing you the things which God has prepared for you for all eternity. Why hadn't He been doing it? Why hadn't we been listening? Why hadn't we been asking? Why hadn't we been seeking this? We've got to start asking the Holy Spirit, praying and saying, Holy Spirit, You are my teacher. I want communion with You. I want fellowship with You. So begin to open my eyes and reveal to me the things which my Father has prepared for me. Reveal to me about my mansion. Reveal to me about the second coming of my Lord and Savior. Reveal to me about the glorification of my body. Reveal to me about the resurrection. Reveal to me these things that my hope is supposed to be in so that my hope would go from just being full to abounding. Amen. This is what the Holy Ghost is going to do for you. Amen? How many of you want to start asking Him some of these things? Oh, Holy Spirit. I mean, He's sitting back waiting on you. You know how we call Him the Holy Ghost? The King James uses that terminology. That's actually a bad translation. Back in the original times when the King James translators translated that way, ghost had a different connotation than it has now. It's not saying the Holy Ghost is like friendly little Casper or something like that. He's not scary. Most people, we start talking about the Holy Ghost, they're like, I don't want none of that. I don't want no ghost. No, back in those days, it meant this. It didn't describe a ghost as we see it. The Holy Ghost was the holy guest. It described more of a guest of a household, describing to us the character of the Holy Spirit, that He ain't going to force you to do anything. He ain't going to force feed nothing on you. He's sitting in your house as a gentleman. He's your guest, and He's waiting for you to say, Holy Spirit, I'm asking You to show me what I need to do right now. And then He's like, I thought You'd never ask. Here it is. This is the Holy Ghost job and ministry in our life. He wants to reveal things to you. He wants to be there to help you. He wants to be there to reveal to you the hope we have laid up for us in heaven. Hallelujah. When you ask and when you invite. Yes. This is the Holy Spirit that we need to come to know so that our hope can abound. So in summary to the series, hope is developed in our life three ways. Through tribulation, because when the pressure gets put on, it causes us to start looking at something else. Our hope isn't going to be able to be in the natural things in this earth. We're going to have to start looking at something else. And by default, we'll start looking at the next life if things in this life ain't working out too well. Number two, hope is developed in our life through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures. That is, by studying the different examples that are in the Old Testament of people who walked through things and ended up receiving their promised prize. Hallelujah. And then the comfort of the Scriptures comes as what? It produces hope in us as we begin to study all the Scriptures that talk about what God has prepared for us and what our promise is, such as in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Then finally, hope is developed in our lives by the power of the Holy Spirit as He begins to reveal to you, showing to you the things which have been given to you freely by God, the things which are to come. This is how you grow, you develop, and let hope abound in your heart. So this is something I encourage you and encourage us as a collective church that we begin to do in our own lives individually. Why? Because as we begin to do this and we start to get our eyes off the current problems and start to look at the Lord, we're ultimately going to put our hope and trust in God, and it's going to cause us to be filled up with joy and peace, thus enhancing our witness to the world. Nobody wants what you got if you're always, oh God, oh God. Nobody wants that. They want somebody that can get a good night's rest right in the middle of the den of lions. They want somebody, and they want the same thing as the people that can stand up in midnight and start to worship God in prison. Hallelujah. They want somebody who's producing joy, producing peace. They'll come and ask that person, give me a reason, brother, for the hope which is in you. The scriptures tell us that. People should be looking at us and saying, man, they got something I don't have. Because I would sure wouldn't be responding the same way they are. This is the power of hope. This is what hope will produce in and through us. Amen. And it will make us a more glorious bride and certainly a more effective witness. Can I get an amen? Amen. Let's stand on our feet. Hallelujah. Woo! Hallelujah. I got to fast more often. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I just feel the Holy Spirit in this place right now. And I believe He's wanting to fill this church up with a new measure of hope, a new measure of expectancy, a new measure of life. And He's working in our church. So I say to you, by the word of the Lord right now, arise and shine, for your light has come and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Let's just wait in the presence of the Lord for a minute. See what He wants to do. Hallelujah. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you. Come here, Arlene. We love you. We bless your name, Lord. You're our God of hope, our God of love, our God of strength, our amen. Hallelujah, Lord. On che solo coman kietele si bukun kati ande besovici. Vraban ki te solomon kuch namama ki solo te kaman si ti ete shenemenka. Hache soloko bidikan chiti broma in che solo kunketi amalo chukuria. For truly, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into your heart the things which I have prepared for you, says the Lord. But the things that I have prepared for you, Arlene and Bob, it is greater than you can possibly imagine. So I say to you and exhort you today, begin to open up your heart wide and let me fill it with the vision that I have for you, with the hope that I have for you, because it is the hope of my calling, not yours. You've truly just entered into my calling. And I'm going to begin to fill your heart up and giving you a greater expanse to this vision. So I exhort you today, ha 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 ha, rejoice, you barren, and you who have not born. Stretch out your stakes and lengthen your cords. Start preparing for some rain today. For many children will I give to you. Yes, Father. Thank you for those spiritual. For what you have and what you've given. Bless you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Love you. We love you. We love you. You are our Lord and God, our Holy One. You lift our heads. And you encourage us. Yeah. Larry and Lenore, y'all both come out here, please. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Father, I just bless with wisdom right now. Oh, fill them up with your wisdom. Yeah, wisdom's the ability to be able to see into the future, to be able to make accurate decisions now based on what you can see as the desired outcome. And I'm going to fill you up with that wisdom. It is going to begin to cry out from the corners of the streets. So be listening, says the Lord. Be listening for that voice of wisdom that's telling you, not now, wait a second, go. Listen to my voice, the voice of my Holy Spirit, and I will pour into you the wisdom that your heart has cried out for. And I bless you with an extra measure of that in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come here, Sean. Hallelujah, monkite. Suchi pudesh na kiende findo stache. Hate osalate kanolcha mot. Bet kor venemis kuke. Kuke manku bleato shindesh. What am I to do? Which way am I to go? Well, the Lord says, I know. You just pursue me. That part I was saying about the God of hope, this is me now talking. That part I was saying about the God of hope, pursue in relationship with Him, and He'll put His expectation in your heart of you. Okay? Extra time with the Lord, spending time in His Word, spending time in His presence, seeking Him and developing more of a sure foundation. Hey, and all these things that you've been asking, what am I to do, Lord? What do you want me to do? Hey, His specific calling is found through His general calling. And His general calling for all believers for all time is what? It's personal relationship with God. To worship Him. Spend some time worshiping me and watch me put my desires in your heart, says the Lord. Bedishna. You encourage, you build up. Father, I just bless Ann right now in the name of Jesus. When, Lord? When? Lord says, I know. I know. Put your hope in me. Put your trust in me. Don't look in this. Don't look in that. Don't look for this. Put your hope and expectancy in me, and I'm going to fill your heart up with the ability to endure, the ability to last longer. As you keep your eyes on me, I will build you up strong in the faith. Hello. Hey, Lord, what is that? Jesus, Chepa. Go to say to you, Michael. Toma, Chi. Toma, and Chisa, Botena. Ha, ha, ha. Jesus, Kunda, Bachike. Hadeleshike. Can somebody put their recorder on their phone for me, real quick? Somebody got a phone that they can do? I'll do it. You're recording it? All right. Come here, Bobby. I want to make sure Bobby hears this. Hadelebeso, Kushna, Makiatesh. Boshoku. Hey, brother. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yeah, my plan and my purpose and my destiny for you is not yet complete. It's not fulfilled. For truly, I have much more for you to do. And it might not be in the package that you're expecting, but I have things. So begin to look out for those things. Begin to keep your ears open and open to the direction that I might be taking you in. And you're going to begin to know that those things are of me, says the Lord, as you begin to step. Yeah, take one step in faith, and then it will be confirmed. Take one step in faith, and then it will be confirmed. Yes, so as the doors are open, hey, behold, I open an effective door for you, my brother. And there are many adversaries, but I will be faithful to keep you strong and to bring you through in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Bless you, Lord. 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 He's doing something here, saints. He's doing something in our midst. For behold, the Lord God in the midst of you is mighty to save. And some of you have turned your eyes so much on the problem, turned your eyes so much on the thing, and you need to begin to revert that attention over onto the solution. the mighty one who is able to save. And cast that up to Him. Throw it back in my lap, says the Lord. Put it over into my lap and say, God, Your word says this. For in this I delight, says the Lord. I rejoice when people remind me of my word. And when my children rise up and say, Papa, You said this. You said You would do this. So I am expecting it to happen. In this my heart delights. It is not arrogant. It is not boastful to do that. For I have bound myself to my word, and I have magnified even this word higher than my name. My own character and my own person, this is who I am, and I have bound myself, all my sovereignty, into my word. And I will surely bring it to pass as You begin to declare it to me and call forth these things. I hasten to hear my word and then I'll perform it in your lives. I'm bound to this, says the Lord. It is my delight, as it is to you when your children look to you and say, Daddy, Mama, You said this. I delight in this, says the Lord. So remind me of my word. Make it a priority in your life. And I'll begin to cause you to inherit the sand of the seashore and the stars of heaven. For nothing is impossible to them who believe and trust in my word and take it at face value and dare to believe it. I will perform it. I will accomplish it because I am faithful to watch over my word and perform it. Ha ha ha, sikonoche. Thank you, Somonake. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Oh, we love You, Lord. The promises that have been made over this church in yesteryears will surely come to pass, says the Lord. All the things that have been spoken, they will surely come to pass. For I am not slack concerning my promises, but I will be faithful to my word to perform it. And it will come forth, but it's going to come forth through you, says the Lord. It's going to come forth through you, through those rivers of living water that live on the inside of you, through my Holy Spirit. They will come out of you. And these are how these promises come to pass. Because why? I sent my word and healed you. My word is made flesh. All my promises from the prophets, all my promises from all times past that have come through my servants, they are made flesh, just as it was with my son when I would prophesy concerning him and then he was born in a manger. My word is made flesh, and it will be risen and brought forth through you. Ha ha ha, si conoce. Oh, we bless You, Lord. We thank You. We thank You. We thank You. Let's lift our hands to heaven. Lord, we thank You for Your promises. They will surely come to pass. It will be performed in this body, in this congregation, in this family. Everything You said and promised You would perform, they will surely come to pass. Because Father, You are faithful. Abba, we trust in You. You're our daddy, daddy. And we call forth Your promises. Hallelujah. Thank You, Lord. Yeah, quit writing your letter. The Lord's funny. Quit writing your letters to Santa. That ain't how it's going to get done. Start writing your letters to me. And the letters need to be based on my letters in my book. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. If our prayer ministers would come forward. Ha ha ha. Thank You, Lord, that You are performing Your good word. And Lord, I thank You that You are wanting to minister to people today. So Father, right now in the name of Jesus, every person that's in this place, Father, that's come in here with weights, with burdens, that have come in here with cares, I pray, Father, that You would cause to quicken their hearts right now, that it's time to cast those things over on You. and at your feet. So if that's you today, if you've brought cares into here, if you need hope to be stirred up on the inside of you, you need agreement in something. We have prayer ministers up here today. Ha, ha, ha. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you. So if that's you, I want you to come forward and we'd be happy to pray for you. I encourage you to come back tonight. I think we're going to do a little bit of prayer tonight. I'm going to do a little teaching, but I think we're going to spend some time in prayer concerning the things that we're doing. So come and be a part of that. But everyone have a blessed day. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.